Amen. Beautiful, beautiful Reverend.
Thank you, God.
Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank Pastor D for the opportunity to stand in his stead today to profess the word. There is a word. But I might have to admit, I'm the first partaker of it. Hallelujah.
All right.
Sometimes we sit down and don't quite know what's going to happen, what will happen, what should happen. I know that a word must come forth today. There used to be a song that I remember when I was out in the world doing all the things that I was big enough to do. And the song writer put it this way. He said, the nighttime is the right time to be with the one you love.
All right.
But I am saying the right time for me is the early morning time to be with the one I love. Now the reason why I'm saying that is true. I used to be a person that would do a whole lot of journaling, and I stopped. But I need to tell you that God put you back in a place where you'll get back to doing what you know you should have been doing all the time. Father, I just thank you. I bless your name. I have nothing to say except your word, God. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You are my CPR, God. You're my creator. You're my provider. You are my redeemer. And all of my help, come from you, Lord. I thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for the hearers that will be a hearer of this word today, but God, but not only a hearer, but a doer, God. I truly believe, God, you're trying to push us out of our comfort zone. But we admit we need your help, God. So God, your word is living. It's sharp. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting even to the division of soul and spirit. And God, even going to the bone marrow, inside of the bone. Let your word do the work. God, I pray that you work a work today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God. The right time for me is early in the morning to be with the one I love. At the beginning of the year, I felt like I was going through something. I didn't quite understand what it was. Had a little something to attack me in my body. And after I went through that, I went to the doctor, and I got a reaction from the shot I got. And then I just was not myself. Oh my God, what in the world is going on with me? So I struggled through a few things, and I kept saying, I'm not myself. And he said, you're right, you're not yourself, because I'm doing something in you. I thank God for that. But he had me to understand during this little period of time that I was going through what I thought seemed so strange. And as God began to have me understand, he said something that goes sort of like this. I'm not quoting it exactly, but he had me to understand that the body of believers, the church at large, is lacking in their faith walk. Mm-hmm. Now, he got up close and personal with me about my life of faith. Now, that's between me and God.
Amen.
Okay. But I gained a lot from what he was saying.
Well,
it became very clear to me last Sunday when Pastor Davis was preaching that it was time, his time, to proclaim a word. Holler loud and spare not. So don't blame me for this word today. I'm just gonna give what God gave me to share. Whether I preach it or teach it, that's God's business. I'm just the vessel that he's gonna use today. Thank you, God. But when God spoke that to me, certainly some things began to turn over in my mind. But let me just say, suffice it to say, faith is talked about much, but exercised less. Today's sermon, you might gather, is about faith. And it's entitled, The Trial of Faith. The Trial of Faith. Anybody here need more faith?
Amen. Yes.
Anybody going through some afflictions?
Oh, yes.
Well, going through the afflictions is just the norm for the believer. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Word of God said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, mm-hmm. but the Lord delivers them out of all of them.
All right. Thank you,
Father. Oh, God. Let me just share something that the Apostle Paul said in the second letter to Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 2. And let me paraphrase it. He said, how is it that in great trial of affliction, you have abundance of joy, mm-hmm. able to give to the relief of others. Now, part of the Sunday school lesson this morning was an epitome of what the message is going to be all about. Mm-hmm. It's been in the song. It's just been in here, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, someone is going to get some revelation and grasp this message today. Someone, that someone might just be me.
All right.
So, Paul, what he is saying here is, you know, you're going through a whole lot. There's a whole lot of distress, but you still got joy. Mm-hmm. And you're able to help somebody else.
Oh, yes.
Your neighbor, if you will. Mm-hmm. Also, during the same time that I was going through this little period, I would lay on the couch, and I would read from the book, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And this is something that got my attention. I must have read this several times, because I read it. Y'all know that little book that Pastor gave us for Christmas? If you don't have one, see Pastor Davis, because you need to read it. But this is what he said. This probably was a reading back in October, but I just recently read it. And this is what he says, and I quote. He said, we have the idea that God rewards us for our faith. And it may be so in the initial stages, but we don't earn anything through faith. He says, faith brings us into right relationship with God. and gives him the opportunity to work. Mm-hmm. Tell God, God, do a work in me. Mm-hmm. Come on, God, do a work in me. God, do a work in me. Have your way.
Work in me.
But he said, yet God frequently have to knock us down, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Knock the bottom out of our experience as his saint to get you and I in direct contact with himself.
Amen.
God wants you and I to understand that it's a life of faith, not a life of emotional enjoyment of his blessing. Yeah, we want the blessings, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, I want all the blessings in Deuteronomy 28. But I also found out that if I'm disobedient, I'm not getting those blessings. Okay? And he goes on to say, faith by its very nature must be tested and tried. Mm-hmm. End of quote. Okay, we're having a trial today, y'all. We're having a trial. Mm-hmm. Now, last Sunday, Pastor Davis had us in court, and he suggested that we take a plea deal. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're back in court today for the trial of your faith. Yeah. Now, the trial of your faith is to let you know your faith score. Mm-hmm. God already knows. Mm-hmm. You need to know whether it's weak or strong, mm-hmm. whether it's little or great, or do you need some help to build yourself upon your most holy faith. Mm-hmm. Well, good news is help is on the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when we think about a regular trial, there's basically two kinds. This is not a jury trial today. This is a bench trial, y'all.
All right.
So the trial is going to take place in the front of the most holy, righteous judge. I'm not going to say he comes judge right now, but he's coming.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir. The judge is both the fact finder and the ruler of the matter of law and procedure. He is the one that decides the credibility of the evidence. He also decides what happens at this trial according to the law and the rules of procedure. The most important rule of procedure is the burden of proof. Will your faith withstand the test? Mm-hmm. Will your faith withstand the test? Now, that's not a question for you to answer to me, not a pastor. You got to answer for yourself to know where you are. Because it's all about God and you right now. So, of course, when we look at the Old Testament and New Testament, translate the word test, it means to prove by trial. Mm-hmm. To prove by trial. The evidence, of course, all of it's right here in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And in this book is a whole lot of promises. And one of the promises and conditions relative to it is this. He that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and it stops there. Mm-hmm. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Mm-hmm. Is what?
That's right.
And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I said, God, now I need to know what you're saying here. Come on, Holy Ghost, I need a little revelation. Because it's the revelation that's going to help me understand this. So to believe that he is what? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was God. I believe that. Do you? And the Word was made flesh. I believe that. If you believe everything I'm saying, as I said, then you say, I believe. The Word was with God.
I believe.
The Word was God.
I believe.
The Word was God. I believe. And the Word was made flesh. I believe.
I believe.
Christ the Word is God's only begotten Son.
I believe.
The righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ to all of them that believe.
I believe.
I believe is so important. I believe is so easy to say. But as vital as believing is, That's not enough for the life of faith. Because we're going to say, I believe until we're blue in the face. Yeah. James 2:19 said, you know, it's good to believe. But in 2:19 he said, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also right. believe. Mm. So you ain't the only one believing. Right. You ain't the only one that can say a few scriptures. The devil can say them too. Yes, but he likes to misquote it. Right. Yeah. The point is, true faith is much more than saying, I believe. Now this is how it goes. And we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, thinking about who is the justified. We walk around here, yeah, I'm the just, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, sanctified and all that good stuff. But this is how it goes. One must be justified first, getting in right standing with God. We already know that. Then the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Then the Spirit of God empowers us. And then that faith can work by love. And then the test of God causes our faith to be trialized. Shana, is that a word? Trialized. I don't know. Come back, Pastor. I'm making up your word. It sounds like, it sound like it might work.
We're going to use that.
Pastor Joe, with a trial. Trialized. Okay. So now we understand that. And the purpose is to prove to us whether our faith is genuine or counterfeit. We know what the Word of God says. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please Him. In the Gospel of Matthew 9:29 are these words. According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. So it lets me know faith is really important. Now, if I ask you to give me a definition of faith, I'm sure you all could, even if you had to quote Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Minister Riley, your favorite word, I didn't get it at first. For a long time, I didn't get it. I understood that faith and hope went together, but it took some of God's working for me to realize something. He prescribed a way for us to live. He said, the just, you and I, those of us that's been justified, receive the righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. We're the just. So he said his prescribed way for us to live is this: the just shall live by faith. Now, I didn't hear this through the grapevine. I read it in the Bible. I read it. I declare I read it. And God said every word can be established out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. I'm going to give you some names of some witnesses. You can go and check them out for yourself. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Are you convinced about how you're supposed to live? Well, I am. That's enough witness for me. So if God prescribes the way for the just to live, how does he do that? How does he teach us how to live by faith? Well, I'm here to tell you, he's able to do it exceeding above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. As we say sometimes, oh, I got this. I'm going to tell you, oh, God got this. He got it. With his all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty self, he got it. All right. Now let me tell you a work that God has already done. You want to know what he did? Mm-hmm. Do you really want to know what he did?
Yes.
The Bible says God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Mm-hmm. Check it out, Romans 12:3. But that measure starts you off, but you soon realize sooner or later that you need more than a measure. Mm-hmm. I remember when God one time was teaching me some stuff and he gave me this little acronym. But truly, your faith got to be developed, increased, matured, and strengthened. Because that little measure is not going to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for the measure. That's a good starter.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I was a little bit naive. I read the Bible, and I was in the gospel according to St. Luke. And I read where the disciples told Jesus, Lord, increase our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever asked God to increase your faith? I know I have.
Yes.
But before I really understood what I was asking, not quite like the disciples, I asked God, show me how to increase my faith. Some of us just want God to show us everything. God said, if you see it, Carol, it's not faith. He didn't tell me I'm not going to show you nothing, but he didn't show it to me, okay? Instead, the advice that he gave me was, keep seeking. Look into the author and finisher of your faith.
All right.
So, I give that same advice for you today. It'll work for you. It worked for me. It'll work for you. I came to the realization that Carolyn, me, myself, and I could not add one cubit to my faith, and neither can any of you. Is that clear? Real clear, ain't it? But the Holy Spirit said, I'll teach you, lead you, and guide you into all truth. Sister Janetta, I got it now. I got it.
All right.
So I understand that God's built faith by testing it, by trying it. This might help somebody today. If you can think of faith like a muscle. We all got some muscles, boys. Right there, you got some muscles. Let me see your muscles. When you test your muscles against weight, then your muscles get developed, right? Like so, our faith develops as it is tested. You cannot develop your faith by sitting on your blessed assurance or coming to the church 24/7. It doesn't happen like that.
Well.
You have to have a trial of faith. Please understand that a trial is whatever tries your faith. Whatever it is that tries your faith. And it's intended to build your faith, thereby raising your faith score. Now, some of us got some weak, weak faith scores. Whether you believe it or not, we have faith-building opportunities every day. The problem is, most of us don't recognize them, so we flunk the test. Because we don't realize that it is a test sent from God. We try to blame the devil. We do.
Amen.
Understand this point. God sends the test, but the devil brings the temptation. There is a difference. God don't tempt us. When you heard, saw that word in Abraham, when you look at a word study, you see that that word tempted means test, not tempted. So we often see tests as something bad happening to a good person. Have you ever asked God what has happened to me? To you? Like I did a few weeks ago? I understand now that the test that God sent is was for my benefit. He wants to help us to be able not to fight the devil. He didn't tell us nowhere where to fight the devil. He said, fight the good fight of faith. three things you need to be able to do up front. You need to recognize that it's a test from God. It will not last forever. It's only a season. I think it's Ecclesiastes, it says to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven. So it's just a season. Then you need to reflect, meditate, study, so that you can be prepared for the test. God told Joshua, you shall meditate on this word day and night. Don't let it depart from your mouth. And then you shall have good success. So if you're not studying, you're not meditating, you're not reflecting, ain't no way that you're going to be prepared for the test. And three, you need to realize that you need to pass the test with the high score. Miss Evelyn, you don't need to just make it in. You got to pass with a high score. You got to get in so you can get your crown.
Get on that cloud.
Truly, truly, God tests our faith, our character, our integrity, our love, and our loyalty. Not only does he look at how we respond to him, but also to people, problems, successes, conflicts, illness, disappointments, and even the weather.
Amen.
Even the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, though, God being who he is, just and good and kind and loving, sometimes he will have to custom design a test just for the just. Remember now, the just shall live by what?
Faith.
Stay with me. I'm going to the text in a few minutes. The account of Job is an example of how God allowed one of his just, righteous one, be tested by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know the story about Job. God was bragging on Job. He said he's a perfect and an upright. One that feared God, avoided and shunned evil. But our adversary, the devil, Satan, he disagreed. So, it's about to be on. Not only is he accuser of the brethren, but he's also a tempter. So the devil with his evil self, and if you notice his name got the word evil in it, D-E-V-I-L, his nature is to steal, kill, and destroy. And his intent was to try to destroy Job's credibility, Job's integrity. So, as the story goes, God allowed Satan to challenge Job's integrity. Now, I can imagine in my mind that the devil was just having a good time. He thought he was winning until God said, that's enough. God set some limits on his behavior. That lets us know the devil can't do no more to us than what God allows. Now, we allow some stuff. We get in some situation because we allow some stuff. But God, he'll put a check on Satan. He'll put that chokehold around his neck and won't let it go so far. But the word of God, and Job had a serious trial of faith. He got into bad health, had all them boils on his body, death of 10 of his children. And if that wasn't enough, he lost all his wealth. He was a real rich man there, but the wealth didn't have Job. God gave it, and he knew God could take it away. And even with all of that, even he got some harsh words from his wife. But despite all this, Job bore all his trials patiently and did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. First thing, sometime when adversity comes to us, God, why you let this happen to me? God, why is this happening to me? But I think Job had some revelation of James 1, 3, and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that we may be able perfect and entire, that means complete, wanting or lacking nothing. I have to tell you, Brother Job passed the patience test. Now, the trial of your faith will happen. is happening to some of us right now. Mm-hmm. So if yours is not going on, just wait, yours is coming. God wants you to understand, though, his ways. God's way is to deliver us through the test, and we want to be delivered from the test. God, I can't go through. God, I can't take no more. God, if you don't hurry up and come, I just don't know what I'm going to do. He said, no, I'm going to deliver you through the test. I'm not going to remove the test. You just got to go. And this way, you got to have some faith now, because things going to get pretty tough. And you can't base it on what you see. You got to base it on what you know. Now, I bet Gerald, they could call up, Mr. Ryan, they could call up Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. I heard something best said in Bible study and the man. You heard it too. But I want you to know how God delivers through a fiery trial. Ask them three Hebrew boys. They can tell you. They got a story. You just need to check it out in Daniel 3 and 1 or get on into Bible study where we can really get down with it. You need to understand that God may deliver you through the test in three common ways. This ain't nothing big and a whole lot of fancy words. This simple little stuff. Three little things. Number one, and I'll explain this. Let me give you all three a demand. Number two, a difficulty. Number three, a delay. Let's go to the text in Genesis, because I want you to see something here that we have read in our hearing. And I'm going to pick up. Let's go here. Terry, you stopped at Minister Riley, you stopped at 12, right?
Yes.
Okay. We all know the story here. You heard it read, but let me just talk to you a little bit about it. Genesis 22 is a great example of a trial of faith through a demand. Mm-hmm. A demand being something that God tells you to do, and you are told to take a specific course of action. Mm-hmm. Told to do something, told to take a specific course of action. It was very clear what God told Abraham. When I was growing up, my father used to make us repeat what he told us so he'd make sure that we had it right. No time not to disobey. But God told Abraham to take his son of promise, Isaac, up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. I want you to notice Abraham's action. He could have had a whole lot of why reaction. Why, God? Why I got to do that? God, this is my son and my only son. God, why? But look what Abraham did. He got up early, traveled 3 days, arrived at his destination, built an altar, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac, stretched forth his hand to slay him. This is... sometimes it get good, sometimes it get better. But this is the best example that I know of obedient faith. Abraham had that faith in his heart. Mm-hmm. Not in his head saying, I believe, yeah, God, I believe. That's a story about a man and his friend. They were crossing the desert. And they got weary. You know, in the desert, it's really hot. You can get dehydrated and you can become thirsty. So the two friends were going along, and they got a little bit concerned because one of them was dragging behind. So finally, he fell by the wayside, and they said, well, we got to go and find him some water. So they pressed their way, and they found some water, and they brought it back to the one that had fell by the wayside. He's sitting there, but he looked like he's not going to make it. But he kept saying, I believe if I drink this water, I will live and not die. I believe if I drink this water, I will live and not die. I believe if I drink this water, I will live and not die. The man died. He never drank the water. So we just can't believe. There got to be some action, some corresponding work. He needed to drink the water. Very simply put. So Abraham had faith in his heart that God would provide a substitute when the time came. Now, we believe that God knows all things. So why would he test Abraham in this way? Was it indeed a test? Oh, yes, it was. The Bible says it was. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Now I said, God, I thought Abraham had two sons. He said, yeah, he had a son by Ishmael. He had a son named Ishmael. He fathered Ishmael by Hagar. But he wasn't the promise. He wasn't the son of promise. So, but look what God did, y'all. As Abraham raised the knife to slay his son, the angel of the Lord. I don't know whether it was Gabriel or who, but it was the angel of the Lord that said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. Whew, that was something, wasn't it? God, you gave me a son, now you tell me to sacrifice my son. Yeah. God, did I hear you right, God? Maybe I didn't hear God. Yeah, Abraham, you heard him right. Abraham didn't go vacillating back and forth. Maybe this went wide. He just obeyed God.
That's right.
Go on down to verses 15, 17, 18. And then the angel of the Lord called Abraham the second time. But this time is to pronounce the blessing. He said, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. I don't think you can count that. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because of what thou hast obeyed my voice. God wants some obedient people that's going to go where he say go without knowing. Don't say do without asking all the questions. Because true as it is, obedience is better than sacrifice. When God demands anything of you and I, remember just to trust and obey. There's no other way. Disobedience, and I often say for myself, delayed disobedience is still disobedience. Yeah. It may result in the devil having his day and his way. Surely we can learn from Abraham's trial of faith. He put God first before his own blood. He passed a priority test. God, you first in my life. I'm going to do what you said. And just saying that God is first kind of caused you to check you out to see if you really mean what you say. You say you love me? Okay. I'm going to send a little test to see if you really love me. In the gospel according to Mark 4:37-44 is a kind of a trial through a difficulty. How many have been through some difficult times in your life? Amen. Somebody might be going through some difficulties right now. A difficulty is anything or something that troubles us when we look at the circumstances. Something that appears to be a bad situation. Something that makes us anxious. When God already told us, be anxious for nothing, no thing. But here in this Gospel of Mark, we have a situation where the disciples and Jesus were traveling in a ship. He could have been on the Sea of Galilee, I don't know, because he liked to hang around the Sea of Galilee. But wherever they were, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was getting or had gotten full of water. Now Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep. Guess what happened? The disciples got real scared. I mean, what they saw, looking at the circumstance, they got real scared. Because of what they saw. The tempest, which can refer to the wind and the rain, or the water. Could have been the water from the sea. But it was raging. I think James Cleveland put it like, oh Lord, the tempest is raging. The ship was reeling and rocking, and fear gripped the disciples. They panicked. What happened when fear grips us? We panic, don't we? Mm-hmm. They woke up Jesus and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus rose up from his sleep, rebuked the wind, and said, Peace, be still. Mm-hmm. And the wind ceased, and there was not just a calm, but a great calm. And he said, I got two questions for you. You've been going with me all this time. You've seen what I've done. How is it that you don't have any faith? Why are you so fearful? Well, I don't know why they were so fearful. Because they had Jesus right on board with them. And when Jesus is on board with you, you don't have to worry about nothing. He got you. He got your back, front and side. Mm. But they didn't have no faith because the devil stole it by the tactic of fear. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed in the Bible when something unusual about to happen, is God will send the angels to say, fear not? Because fear is a bad demon. Mm-hmm. Fear make you hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. Only fear that we really need to have is the fear and reverence fear of God. Mm-hmm. But the devil knows that too. So he'll try to bring fear. Fear can be tormenting. Fear can cause us to waver. And the Bible says one in James, one that wavers is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. So remember, the devil will try to trick you with fear, doubt, and a lie. That's three of his main tactics. When our faith takes on a seesaw effect. How many know what a seesaw effect? I'm probably the oldest thing in here. It's right, seesaw. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. And then after a while, you get unsteady. Don't be afraid if God has to send Gabriel to you to tell you to fear not. Because there's some things headed our way. It's not going to be based on what we see, but we're going to know that we know that something ain't quite right here. But as we read in our responsive read, you need to be assured that the justifier is always with the just. You may not see him, but you can always call him. And the Bible said his ears is open to the righteous, and he will answer. So after passing your test, you need to tell somebody else how he brought you through the storm of difficulty. Moving on down, let's look at John quickly. His account of a trial of faith through delay. Have you ever prayed and asked God for something and seen that God won't never come? Been there, done that. Delay is any time that it's not your time. Did I tell you what a difficulty was? A difficulty can be anything that makes you look at something and you think that, oh, that's terrible, that's bad. Anything that looks bad to you can be a difficulty. Those anxious moments, those disappointments, those things in life that come to us, which is just those storms, if you will. But the delay is any time that is not on your timetable, something later than expected. God's timing is the right time, even when he appears catastrophic. Late. I want you to look at the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, as told in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were considered close friends of Jesus, and the Bible said he loved them. One day, Lazarus got sick, almost to the point of death. So the sisters sent an urgent message to Jesus saying, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, because Jesus is their good, close friend, They had every reason to believe that he would respond immediately, but he didn't. Days passed before Jesus made it to their house, and by the time he got there, Lazarus had died. So when Jesus did get there, we read in the Word that Martha came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So Jesus began to have a conversation with Martha, and he asked her if she believed, and she responded. Now, Minister Riley always tells the stories about Mary and Martha, so I just sort of got what he said one day. But as it would be, she said, "Yeah, Lord, I believe." Jesus said, "Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that?" She responded, "Yeah, Lord, I believe, and I know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then she went and called Mary. "Mary, the Master's here. He called it for you." So Mary came to Jesus and fell at his feet. She about to get some good stuff. And Jesus began to ask him, "Well, where have you laid him?" "Lord, it's been 4 days. You're 4 days late. He's stinking by now, and you're going to ask us where we laid him?" 4 days late in the natural realm, but on time in the spiritual realm.
Come on, man.
Oh, God, thank you. In verse 43, we find that Jesus performed one of his most dramatic miracles as he called Lazarus from the tomb. Jesus was not late. He arrived right on time. Mary and Martha believed what Jesus said to them. And many of the Jews, because of what they had seen, put their faith in Jesus. But blessed are those who have not seen and put their faith in Jesus. Well, all of them, they passed the prudent test. So we got the patient test, the priority test, and the prudent test. I want you to do a self-examination. Determine whether you're in a position to pass the priority test, the patient test, and the prudent test during your trial of faith. I urge you to take time, though, to prepare. Ready or not, God will send the appropriate test for each one of us. I'm about to conclude. I want you to remember, though, the trial of faith benefits us. Testing by God is always endurable. You can endure hardness as a good soldier. One principle of testing limits that we need to keep in mind is the one that Apostle Paul speaks to in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No trial has come upon us which is out of the normal experience of mankind. Furthermore, God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your ability to endure it. But will, I said he will,
come on now.
I know he will provide with the testing a way of escape, a resolution to it, so that you will be able to bear it. Now, I started out by quoting Oswald Chambers, and I may as well end by quoting him. And this is what he says. He said, faith by its very nature must be tested and tried. And a real trial of faith is not what we find difficult to trust God, but that God's character must be proven as trustworthy in our little infinite mind. Never confuse the trial of faith with the ordinary discipline of life, because a great deal of what we call a trial of faith is the inevitable results of being alive. There are some given just because we live in a fallen world. The prince of the air, the devil going about seeking whom he can devour. God will send the test. The devil will bring the temptation. Now, faith, as the Bible teaches, still quoting Oswald, it is faith in God come against everything that contradicts him. A faith that says, I will remain true to God's character, whatever he may do. And Oswald goes on to quote Job. And he says, this is the highest and greatest expression of faith in the whole Bible. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I. Can you say that today? I don't know. Sometimes I get like a prophet, be ready to back up. But I say, God, help me. Then I got to spend some time with him. That's why I say early morning time is a good time for me to be with the one I love. Because God will drop some little spiritual nuggets in my spirit. Then I'll go to the Word of God and I find out that it is the Word. Then I realize that the Word is what I need. The Word is one of my weapons. Oh yeah, I can pray, but I need some Word in me. That's why he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a work for not being ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't know the word, how can you use the word? Because right. The devil's going to come with a whole bag of tricks. But the word is powerful. And if you hide the word in your heart, that you may not sin against God, you don't have to worry about what the devil is doing. Yeah. Because when he comes in like a flood, God will raise up that standard. But we don't need to be ignorant of Satan's devices. He don't announce himself, he just show up. And he'll come at the most inopportune time. And he's not like God. God will try to prepare us. He'll talk to us. He'll tell us. Yes, he will. He'll show us things in the Word that we need to meditate on. But the devil don't do that. But I need to tell you, as I'm about to close, while you're waiting for your trial of faith, you need to be of good courage, knowing that God will send the test, the test to the right person, at the right place, at the right time, just in the nick of time, because he is an on-time God. I'm here to tell you that he is an on-time God. Pastor, I've been thinking about you a lot lately, and God just sort of had me to understand that you might be experiencing some things. It may seem like some delays. God, but don't look at it as a delay, because God is an on-time God. Yes. But I believe God, I heard him say to us, this message is for those who he gave to you, that we got to get up. If we don't get up, he going to put the fire under us to move us out of our comfort zone. You come in here Sunday after Sunday and preach the word. We eat the word and we go back. But sometimes we forget the word because we don't hide it in our heart. Now that word will cause you and compel you to do something. I'm speaking about Carolyn. But he told me, Carolyn, you got to get up. I'm calling you to a higher standard. How I've given you much, to whom much is given, much is required. But I've got a little song to encourage you today, Pastor. Sister, I want you to move your stuff. I want Sister Pastor to sit right out there. And Sister Davis, I want you to come up here and sit beside him. Because sometimes the pastor needs to be encouraged. Yes. Hallelujah. He comes every Sunday to encourage us. We eat the word and we don't eat junk. We eat some real good food. Yes. And I know sometimes he gets weary. Sometimes Minister Ryan and I try to bear up his own. But there's a lot more of us that need to be doing what we're doing. Jesus. Not because I know anything, but I know what God said. But I need for you to know, Pastor, hallelujah, that God see everything that you're going through. He got his perfect timing for you. Yes, he is. I know you're a little weary. But don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season, if you faint not, you're going to reap. Continue to pray that God will move us, that we will push, pray until something happens in us, that our faith will stand, withstand the test that God is going to send. It ain't your test, ain't going to be my test. Right. Everybody going to have their own individual test, but God's going to test us, because we are blessed to sit under a pastor that will preach the word, that will preach and teach the word, that will walk by faith and not by sight.
All right.
Minister Riley, if you could play that song, God is an on-time God. Do the one by Dottie Peoples. Yes, sir, God. Let's get back to the verb again. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
He is a on-time God. There. Yes, he is.
Yes.
Thank you, God. Yes. Yes, he is, Pastor. Our own time God. And if you'll know the song, stand up. That's it. You must cut it off. Yeah, it'll take it. Well, he's on time God.
Yes, he is.
He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. This is it. It's coming.
All
right. Oh, that's Timber Man. That's home, sister.
He's on time, God. Oh, yes, he is.
He'll never leave him. No. forsaken. But we got to get ready for what's coming. I don't know what's coming. I don't proclaim to know what's coming. But I know something is coming. I want to be ready when you come to my house. I want to be ready. I don't want God to put me in the fiery furnace. Even though that might be what I need to get me out of my comfort zone. But I just know He's on time, God. He's on time. He's in time. He is time. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you. God, thank you. Yes, sir, God, thank you. Thank you, God.
Yeah, thank you.